sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the opening of Counterspin Media's 12-hour live.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Yes, the wrong one. Here's, try this one.
Throughout history, the struggle between good and evil has been ever present.
Oh, no, that's still the wrong one, isn't it? Try this one. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I got all mixed up. Try this. Maybe that's the one.
Throughout history, the struggle between good and evil has been ever present, from biblical tales to modern times. Today, the new world order symbolizes the latest manifestation of darkness, epitomized by the Great Reset. However, humanity's great awakening signals our united stand against this malevolence. We are destined to triumph over evil. And now, Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour truth-a-thon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
The prescription drug pricing points to corporate mouth.
Freedom of the press is about your right to know. It's about your right to be informed. Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us. We must protect our right to know, no matter what kind of news is important to you. Before it's too late, understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
88.1 FM, The Wireless. Weather.
All right, we'll look at the forecast. This is the marine forecast. I know that you'll be going out boating today. The situation, the coastal situation, a slow-moving front continues to impact the South Island, the West and North Island today. The low deepens on the front in the Tasman Sea and slowly approaches the country. The front moves to the east on Friday, while the low lies slow-moving. It's going to go west of the South Island. And the low crosses the country and weakens on Saturday, making its way for a ridge of high pressure. And the Tasman Sea, that's going to move eastwards, and the ridge affects the whole country on Sunday. So things are going to look better. Gale warning in force for the Bay of Islands. Northeasterlies are 25 knots, gusting 35 knots, rising to 35, gusting 45 knots this morning. Seas becoming very rough this morning. Fair visibility in showers, an easterly swell of a metre, rising to 2 metres. Tomorrow, northerlies 35 knots, easing to 20 knots. That's in the morning, and then northwesters 10 knots in the afternoon, rising to westerlies 15 knots in the evening. Rain will be clearing with a northeasterly swell of 2 metres, rising to 3.5 metres for a time. Moving down to Coromandel, no, we've got to go past the lakes to Hawke's Bay. Morning to the listeners there, 88.1 FM. Northerlies today, 15 knots for you, rising to northeasters 20 knots in this morning. Seas becoming moderate this morning, fine weather. And becoming cloudy later with an easterly swell of 0.5 metre rising to 1 metre for a time. A southerly swell of 0.5 metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka rising to 1 metre. Tomorrow, northeasterlies 20 knots, easing to 15 knots in the afternoon. Partly cloudy, rain developing. You've got an easterly swell there of 1.5 metres and then it's going to ease to 1 metre. And you'll have a southerly swell as well, just mixed in with that. But that's going to be north of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka from 1 metre rising to 1.5 metres. Now look at Wellington, a strong wind warning advisory for Wellington as well. Windy Wellington, northerlies 15 knots today, rising to 20 knots, gusting 30 knots this morning and 25 knots, gusting 35 knots this afternoon. Seas becoming rough in the afternoon, poor visibility and scattered rain from afternoon. And for the south coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of 0.5 metre, rising to 1 metre. For Castle Point, an easterly swell of 1 metre, rising to 1.5 metres. And a southerly swell mixed in with it with 0.5 metre, rising to 1.5 metres. Friday, you can expect a northerly of 25 knots, changing to southerly 20 knots in the morning, and it'll cool off a bit. You've got it easing to 15 knots in the afternoon on Friday. A rain easing for a time, and for the south coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of 1 metre. For Castle Point, a northeast swell of 2.5 metres developing, and a southerly swell of 1.5 metres, rising to 2 metres for a time. Christchurch, you've got a gale warning there with northerlies 20 knots, rising to 25 knots easterlies. Northeast, I beg your pardon, gusting 35 knots mid-morning and 30 knots, gusting 40 knots late morning. I thought I'd throw in Christchurch just in case you decide to go out and catch a snapper or a cod. Northeasterlies rising to 35 knots, gusting 45 knots. That is up there. It's hard to stand up in 45 knots, isn't it, Digger?
Yes, very hard when you're throwing the anchor out.
standing up the front there. That's going to be in the afternoon. You've got easterlies there, northerlies rather. They're going to be easing to 15 knots in the evening, and it's going to be coming a very rough for a time in the afternoon. Poor visibility and scattered rain. Just stay at home today. Easterly swell of half a metre dying out. Tomorrow in Christchurch, northeasters of 15 knots, changing to southwest 25 knots in the morning, easing to 15 knots in the afternoon and 10 knots in the evening. Rain easing, a northeast swell of half 1 metre developing. That is weather. I'll be back soon with some more news for you. It's almost 6 o'clock.
There is no doubt that the brain chip is the end of civilization as we know it. I understand that it helps the paraplegic and other neurological disorders, but that's their selling point of entry. And the people on top will use this compassion and this empathy we have to eventually bring this technology to a mass market, which is the real intention. The intention is to merge us with machines, because once you put a computer under the skin, it's like putting a computer under the hood of a car. You can now control it, update it, hack it, and shut it down all remotely. Now that is control in its purest form. And what do tyrants want? They want control in its purest form. And you'll see, it won't stop at the paraplegic level. The day a regular student gets a chip, the other students won't be able to compete unless they also get a chip. And this is the day when we lose our divine connection, when we lose our humanity, when we lose our soul, because just like a computer, there's no more emotions. And if we want the light of consciousness to survive, we have to reject this.
Time to wake up. Wakey, wakey. 6 o'clock. Time for the news. 88.1
FM. The Wireless. International news.
Rightio. We're moving across to AP News now. Let's check that one out. And we've got the exit poll suggests a big win by South Korea's liberal opposition parties in parliamentary election. The initial exit poll suggests South Korea's liberal opposition parties are expected to win a landslide victory in Wednesday's parliamentary election. Simon Harris is installed as Ireland's new prime minister. He's the country's youngest. I think I said MP yesterday.
You did, you said it. You said it. I was going to pick you up, but I picked you up and got a few things yesterday. I thought I won't pick you up or anything else. You might lose your confidence.
I could do too. Irish lawmaker Simon Harris. He has been elected prime minister, the PM, not MP. He is an MP, but he's been elected the PM by a vote in Parliament. At 37, he's the country's youngest ever leader. Grieving relatives spending the first morning of they call it Eid al-Fitr at Deir al-Baha Cemetery. The cemetery, that's where they've actually, and I'll tell you what also happened, it's just come through. Three sons of a top Hamas leader are killed in Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The three sons of the top Hamas political leader was killed by an Israeli airstrike to the Gaza Strip. And the leader accuses Israel of acting in the spirit of revenge and murder. That's rich, isn't it, coming from people that came in on October the 7th last year and slaughtered 1,200 Israeli civilians, innocent people, and took over 200 hostages, and a whole heap of them have been slaughtered, killed. They're raped every day, the women. Just shocking. Israel threatens to strike Iran directly if Iran launches an attack from its territory. There we are. That's the international news from AP. Oh, Ukraine, they'll be outgunned by Russia 10-1 in weeks without US help. That's according to a top European general.
They still have an army?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they've still got an army. Muslims worldwide, they celebrate Eid al-Fitr. Fitr? Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's how you say it. Yeah, in the shadow of Gaza's misery. Japan is giving Washington 250 new cherry trees, and they're going to replace those that are lost in construction work. There we are. That's the news. Or South Africa, the court overturns a ban. It rules that former leader Jacob Zuma can run in the election. And Mexico's outgoing leader is unhappy with the first presidential debate. Bulgarian parliament formally approves the caretaker government. This is yesterday's news, isn't it? We'll refresh it just in case there's anything new that's come through. Look at the regions now. Brazilian leader, Yanomami leader, that's what he is. He asked the Pope to support President Lula in reversing damage to the Amazon. And in Switzerland, you've got the host of the Ukraine Peace Conference in June. That's what Switzerland is going to host them. and they hope that Russia can join in as well. Russia's attack on the Ukraine village kills 14-year-old girl and two others, according to officials. That'll be Hamas journalists. European Union lawmakers approve an overhaul of the migration law, hoping to deprive the far right of votes. Moving across to Asia now, we've got the fire in a 16-storey Hong Kong residential building. It kills at least five people now and has injured dozens. Chinese President Xi Jinping, he meets former Taiwan leader Ma Ying-jeou on a pro-unification visit. Hong Kong denies entry to Reporters Without Borders representation in latest blow to press freedoms. Fighting escalates the eastern Myanmar area, that's Burma, as the army holds out against the resistance push on key borders. Looking at Latin America now. I'll get rid of that video that's gone across it. Desperate young Guatemalans, they try to reach the US even after horrific death of migrating relatives. Former Colombian president Uribe, he denounces case against him as political revenge. Brazil, again, extends visa exemptions for US, Canada and Australia. Not Austria, Australia, this time until 2025. And former Venezuelan oil minister is arrested in connection with the corruption probe, authorities say. Looking at the Middle East, and the latest Israeli airstrike kills three sons of Hamas leader. We got that, just come through 27 minutes ago. Turkey and Israel announced trade barriers on each other. Their relations are deteriorating over Gaza. A Moroccan activist was sentenced to 5 years for criticizing the country's ties to Israel. And Iran frees four conservationists who worked to save cheetahs.
Now, yesterday, you said cheetahs were monkeys.
I know. I was pulling your leg. Well, I said cheetahs. They're cheating people that cheat, but they're not. They're a cat. Before being convicted of espionage. In Africa, African news, Morocco's earthquake killed thousands, but survivors marking Ramadan say it didn't shake their faith. Shake in a faulty book. In some classrooms in Senegal, deaf and hard of hearing students can now study alongside everyone else. They've got some new technology there that's helping them. And Togo bans protest over cancelled presidential election as tensions rise. At least 38 migrants are dead and others are missing off the Djibouti after that shipwreck. Flood water swept a bus from a bridge in Kenya. All passengers survived. Moving over to US news now, Biden administration set first ever limit on what they call forever chemicals in drinking water. Forever chemicals. Fluoride. Investigators, they focus on the electrical system of a ship. The Baltimore Bridge collapse. Arizona.
You just make up words.
I do. I don't know why. I don't know. It's dyslexia. 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 One or the other. One of those. Arizona, they can enforce an 1864 law criminalizing nearly all abortions, the court says. Good. And storms bring flooding rain and damaging wind to states across the South. And which states could have abortion on the ballot in 2024? We'll have a quick look at that and see which states are. There's a push to ask Arizona voters to add a right to abortion to the state constitution. Took new stakes this week when the Supreme Court ruled that the state can enforce a ban on abortion in all stages of pregnancy. Arizona is one of the several states where abortion might be on the ballot this year. Across the country, there have been increased efforts to put abortion rights questions to voters since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and removed the nationwide right to abortion. Since 2022, since that decision, most Republican-controlled states have new abortion restrictions in effect, including 14 that ban at every stage of pregnancy. Most Democrat-dominated states have laws or executive orders to protect access. Additionally, voters in seven states, California, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Montana, Ohio, and Vermont, have sided with abortion rights supporters on ballot measures. It's not clear yet how many states will vote on measures to enshrine abortion access in November. In some, the question is whether amendment supporters can get enough valid signatures. In others, it's up to the legislature. And there's legal wrangling in the process in some states. There, that's international news. Now, Tehran fears that Israel is preparing to strike Iran nuclear facility. We're over at Seymour Rocks, substack.com. Israel is preparing to strike Iran nuclear plants if faced with revenge attack for the death of the top Tehran commander last week. Netanyahu's war cabinet has been locked in crunch meetings over fears that Iran will launch an assault as Middle East tensions threaten to boil over into an all-out war. Now, a Western security official has revealed that Israel will respond to any attacks by striking Iran's nuclear targets directly. Israeli forces will be conducting Air Force drills in preparation for the dangerous escalation, according to Elaf News. Iran has several nuclear sites, including power plants, uranium mines, and research reactors. A targeted attack against one of them could mark an unprecedented escalation in the melting pot in the Middle East conflict. Tehran's embassy in Syrian capital in Damascus was destroyed in a suspected Israeli airstrike on Monday, killing several top brass commanders. General Mohammad Razez Zahidi, he died along with six senior members of Iran's twisted terrorist army, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Iran's formidable supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, he quickly hit out with revenge threats and vowed to defeat the Zionist regime. Snarling, Tehran President Ibrahim Raisi said Israel's alleged blast will not go unanswered. Experts told The Sun that retaliation by Iran, backers of terror groups including Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthi rebels, they would spark a global war. British Prime Minister...
No, you added a word. I'm just reading along here. Make sure you don't make any more mistakes. All right.
Former British tank commander and military analyst Hamish de Brenton Gordon, he described the countries as sworn enemies. In the 6 months since war broke out between Hamas and Israel, Iranian terror proxies have wreaked havoc in their attempts to attack Israel. Now, I've got a video here. Oh, no, it's not a video. Oh, is it? No. I'll click on this link and just see if there's a video with it. I think there is. This is The Sun. No. It's one of those funny ones. We don't know what he's saying. Yeah, it's just an advert for war, isn't it?
Yeah, advert for war.
Okay, it's 14 minutes past, almost 14. Oh, 12, I'm ahead of myself. My clock's is 13, actually. 30 minutes past 6. Very good morning to you. Let's have a look at this day in history when we come back, and we'll look at it in a bit more detail.
Breaking news here in batshit bonkers Britain, where J.K. Rowling has been an overnight hero by saying a man is...
That's an old one, Digger. We can't play that. You can play something new, okay? How about this? How about Sarah Evans? We'll have Sarah Evans while I have a look and see what we're going to do next. Because we start this program at what? We wake up at 4 o'clock. The alarm gets us out of bed. We shake around, make a cup of coffee. You have a cigarette. And we're not sure what we're going to do. We have no idea how the program's going to go because we don't know really what's on the news. And we have a quick look at the news. And then we just read it all through its site and hope I don't make too many mistakes. Let's have a listen to Sarah Evans.
Been running from these feelings for so long. Telling my heart I didn't need you. Pretending I was better off alone. But I know that it's just a lie.
Here with you,
17 minutes past 6 with Grant Edwards and Digger Davidson. A wonderful song there by Sarah Evans, and I Need to Be Next to You. I sure do.
Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless.
All right, we're over at this day in history. We're at, what is it now? It's NZ History, nzhistory@.gov.nz. New Zealand's first royal visit on April the 11th today in 1869. The Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Alfred Ernest Albert, arrived in Wellington as captain of the frigate HMS Galatea, the first member of the British royal family to visit New Zealand, and he was greeted with haka and speeches and also bunting. Much bunting. I don't know. Well, look it up and tell me tomorrow. Prince Albert, the second son of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, he made three visits to New Zealand in 1869, 1870, and a planned visit in 1868 had to be cancelled after a gunman wounded the prince in Sydney.
I had baddies in there as well.
They've always had baddies. During his 1868 visit, the prince spent nearly a week at the capital in Wellington, attending official functions, enjoying a pig hunt before sailing to Nelson. They had pigs in Wellington. He subsequently visited Christchurch, Dunedin and Auckland, where he was received by 150 Maori chiefs.
They got that many chiefs. Not enough Indians.
Mm. And he shot pukako and pigeons. That'll be the wood pigeon.
Oh, they're a bit tough. Both of them are a bit tough. I've chased them both.
Have you? You're not allowed pigeon. It's protected.
Oh, I've got part Maori. I'm Tanga Tafone. I'm Ngāti Tuwharatoa.
Are you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm Maori.
Are you? Oh. Now, the prince's... You've taken me off my pace. The prince's warship returned briefly to Wellington in late August 1870 and made a final visit in December to commemorate the first royal visit. The district in the Bay of Plenty was named after the prince's vessel. The name Galatea was originally applied to the army constabulary. That was a redoubt. It was built during the hunt for the Maori resistance leader Te Kuti. Also on this day in 1916, the New Zealand Division arrives in France. They arrived on the Minnewaska, a troop ship carrying the headquarters of the recently formed New Zealand Division. They arrive in Marseille in France. 13 more ships followed over the next fortnight, bringing the whole of the division across a calm Mediterranean Sea from Alexandria, Egypt. That's where the Gnostic University are in Alexandria.
That's right. That's where all the crap Bibles come from, don't they?
Yes. And they were far from the front lines, but the people of Marseille were pleased to see the New Zealand troops. Cecil Malthus, he travelled on the Franconia, which docked on April 12th, and he wrote that the locals milled around with the wildest excitement and made our progress difficult. Our Captain Grey was heartily kissed by a fat businessman to the joy of the troops, and a number of the troops, they broke rank and started kissing and hugging on their own behalf. Soldiers writing home found ingenious ways to get around the prohibition on disclosing their whereabouts. The unofficial war correspondent on the Victoria University College, as review, he wrote that we passed the castle in which Monte Cristo was imprisoned. Do you remember your Dumas, Alexandre Dumas, fictional hero, was unjustly imprisoned in Chateau d'If in Marseille Harbour? Chateau d'If, Monte Cristo. Yeah, I've read that book. It was a good book. My daughter read it. She enjoyed it as well. The men of the New Zealand Division, they spent little time in Marseille. They soon boarded trains for a 58-hour journey north. France in springtime was a welcome sight. In a letter home, William Prince. Now, my dyslexic mind was going to say Prince William, but, you know, no, it was William Prince. William Prince of the Auckland Battalion, he remarked that the French countryside, with its green fields and hedges and orchards, is a great treat after the eternal sands of Egypt. Divisional headquarters travelled in relative comfort on a mail train and reached their destination. Hazebrouck, near the Belgian border on the 13th. Now, the troops, they travelled in cattle class. They began arriving on the 15th, and they had to let off the cattle on the way. And we travel on cattle class, don't we?
Yes, we don't travel on planes anymore. Not since they want you to wear masks and all that rubbish. We don't travel on trains. Make your own way, horseback.
Yes, we do. Anyway, they were in for a period of intensive training behind the lines before seeing the first action on the Western Front. That is what happened on this day, the 11th of August. So, hey, if you're having a birthday today, have a brilliant day. It's 24 minutes past six, and I'll be back in the moment with some more news from Grant Edwards on the wireless 88.1, Wellington, Hawke's Bay and Northland, and also online. You can find us at, where are we? We're on all the, we're on most of them, I think. Just look up Liberty NZ. If you missed this morning program, just look up Liberty NZ. Make sure you put the NZ right next to the Liberty. Otherwise, you'll end up somewhere else. And you can hear us on the podcast. Go to Podbean. That's the one we want you to go to and friend us over there. Got a few thousand people there. We'd like a few thousand more. Things have stalled a bit after we stopped broadcasting when we were doing it back in 2022 at the Wellington protest. I was so disgusted. And you were too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was disgusted.
And we just stopped. Didn't I was just too angry to go on the air. I didn't do anything for 8 months. Just carried on building and farming. Then I'll stuff it. I was so pissed off. And anyway, but we're back now. And tell all your friends to get over and listen to us. If you get up in the morning, you can find us on the stream at Zeno FM. Look up Liberty NZ, you'll find us, or the wireless. I think the wireless. Yeah, we're on the wireless. There we are. Okay, we've got Ron White, the comedian, coming up. It's almost 25 past six.
My New Year's resolution this year was to lose some weight and try to get in better shape. And I was working out yesterday, and I hurt my fat. I sprained my fat roll. Everybody in my camp's on my ass about taking better care of myself. I'm like, what? My wife bought me a bicycle thinking I might ride it. It's for sale. It's a good deal, too. It's like new. It's got 750 yards on it.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, Rural News.
Right, well, we're over at the Farmers Weekly now, and the top story is there, the Farmers Weekly. Human-driven erosion eats into the productivity, according to Annette Scott. The report just came out yesterday that the major MFE Stats New Zealand report also highlights inadequacies of existing flood protection as climate change risk increase.
Bullshit.
I know it is, but you know, that's what they're saying. They're in on the scam, aren't they? Here they are. Farmers Weekly. Yeah. High hopes for cannabis company survival. Richard Rennie, he's reporting on this one. Canna South, they call in administrators after burning through cash reserves.
He's smoking the profits.
A dam delivers kiss of life to drought zone. Richard Bett Rennie reports on this one as well. Just in time, after 20 years of work, Waimea Dam is in a position to help its drought-stricken region. And Seed Island to help regenerate Northland Forest. Craigmore launches native planting project that will harness birds and wind to spread further afield. Ah, New Zealand Post cuts back rural parcel deliveries. No more Saturday paper either, as it ends the service on that day. Sector groups applaud new look at methane targets. News that an independent panel will scrutinise emissions reductions. Aims are welcome. Dairy farmer cops a huge fine for exploiting staff. Payslips doctored and monies withheld at the Southland Imam's farm. So he's a Muslim. Warning to dog owners as parasite appears in New Zealand.
That's bullshit.
I know it is. I know. Yeah, you sent that off to Sam Bailey and she said it's rubbish. Get flea and tick. See, they're just trying to sell you something. Get flea and tick treatment up to date. Just give your animals nicotine. That's a great parasite killer. Court ruling leaves Ashburton irrigators in limbo. An advocacy group, Environmental Law Initiative, sought a judicial review of the decision in the High Court last year. I wonder what that's about. Federated Farmers. That's the advocacy group. What did they say? Recent High Court decision that overturned the nitrogen discharge consent has left an unwelcome question mark overhanging the granting of future discharge consents in the Canterbury Plains. There we are. Federated Farmers Vice President Colin Hurst says it's yet another reason why a major overhaul of the Resource Management Act, the RMA as they call it, can't come soon enough. There we are, that's rural news. Rural news, and we'll have a look and see what other news is on the boil as well. Let's do that.
Ron Paul, Dr. Ron Paul, talking about the fact that we should abolish the World Economic Forum. It has been given, as of last year, UN authority co-equal to the UN. Of course, the UN's a fraud itself. And it is standardizing with the communist Chinese and others, I have the articles right here, a global ID to implement the global cashless society, central bank digital currencies. The EU has passed it. China already has it in place. Australia is trying to force it through. New Zealand is trying to force it through. Canada is trying to force it through. Trudeau has partnered with the UN to bring it into Canada. This is not something that's coming. It's here, and it is legalized surveillance, everything you do, and they can program and control everything you do.
Everything you do. Okay, look, before we do anything else, we're going to play a song for you, Digger. You want Morgan Way, don't you?
Yes, I do. You said you were going to play it.
All right, well, we'll play some of her. But before we do, firefighters are working to contain a large vegetation fire. It's threatened a residential property in the Auckland Helensville area this morning. Fire and Emergency's Northern Shift Manager, Josh Pennefather, he said that firefighters got the first call of the vegetation fire at 3:35 a.m. this morning. It was the locals that said that it was near Mount Rex. That's what he told One News. He said 6 fire trucks, 3 water tankers and a couple of support vehicles were currently trying to gain access to the uncontained fire on the Kaipara Coast Highway. That's the latest news. There is one structure at risk and we are currently working to protect that structure. Shortly after 5 a.m, not long ago, the fire was spreading uphill and measured 200 metres by 400 metres in size. In an update, just after 6, Pennefather, he has confirmed that the fire is now 100 metres by 50, so they're getting on top of it. He said there's also no reported injuries at this stage. The Helensville locals are preparing for the day. They told One News, a quarter of my route is blocked and the stop-go traffic management is now in place. So that's news just come to hand. Media minister has enough time to find solutions. Opposition, apparently. That's what they say. Labour and the Greens Party say the government must take the shrinking of the sector seriously and come up with solutions for the sake of democracy. And if you go into the woods today...
If you go to the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise.
You're going to be sure, and you have to be aware of toxic mushroom species.
Didn't your wife eat it? A toadstool and lived?
She did. She did. It's very interesting, isn't it? A foraging expert and author, Peter Langlands, he's got a report over at onenews.co.nz on how to stay safe when you're searching for food. Just stay away from the toadstools. A Powerball jackpot grows to 30 million now. We've got 6 lotto players last night that won $166,667 in the first division draw. A bill removing anti-Pacifica law passes through the first reading. Shock in Parliament as ACT and New Zealand First threw their support behind the bill, with National being the only party to oppose it. And Biden, he says that Netanyahu's approach to the war in Gaza is a mistake. The US president mumbles out some comments. He said that they've widened the rift between the two staunch allies and worsened the war, worsened as the war continues in Gaza. Ashburton Mayor, he's delighted with the abandonment of State Highway 1 skinny medium barriers, those fences, you know, they're just cables with, they look like they're blimmin' cheese shredders. If you're on a motorbike or a scooter and you hit one of those, you're a goner. They're not really going to help. They cause more problems than they're worth. But what he's pushing for, he doesn't want to get rid of medium barriers altogether. He wants those wider ones, the concrete ones or the plastic ones filled with sand. That's what he's after. That's the Ashburton Mayor. That's on State Highway 1 from Ashburton to Rolleston. That's been on the proposal since 2021. We've got the schools deliver a last-minute petition to save their lunch program. I don't know if that's around. I don't think Seymour's going to get rid of the whole thing, is he? He's just going to make sure that what the kids are getting is, you know, good nutritious food at a reasonable price. And Wuthering put-downs as UK Prime Minister ruins classic sneaker, Rishi Sunak's Adidas Zambas. That label, they reckon it's a transparent attempt at signal dressing. Unacceptably high sales to underage vape buyers has been revealed. The Ministry of Health told the Health Select Committee around 10% of general vape stores sold to young people, it's under 18, while 70% of online ones were selling to even younger. I don't know how they could do that, but they are, I reckon. Brisbane man, he's been jailed for malicious stalking threats to police. Nicholas Del Vecchio, he's 28, he was jailed for 4 years after pleading guilty to 3 counts of stalking, 2 bomb hoax and aggravated robbery. Sexual health pioneer, she's been honoured with a painting at Parliament yesterday. Hetty Rout successfully argued during World War I that venereal disease was a health problem, not a moral one. And the Kiwi businesses and households under recessionary pressure. In March, 282 companies went into liquidation, receivership or voluntary administration, the highest since 2015. 5 people killed in a fire in Hong Kong. I think that's gone up, hasn't it? We'll go over to AP News because I'm pretty sure there was a few more than that. I think it's up to 13 now. Let me see. See if they tell us about the fire. That'll be Asian news. Yes, the fire in a 16-storey Hong Kong residential building kills at least 5 people. Oh, okay, it's the same. So where were we? One news. Yeah, one news. 5 killed in a fire at Hong Kong residential building. The blaze started in the gym on the first floor, according to local media. Cars ripping up the oval in the town. They're battling the joyriders in the domain, the Tuatapere domain there. They've put gates on it to stop the hoons tearing up the turf. TVNZ, News Hub Media, cuts rap. They can tell you over at onenews.co.nz what you need to know. And an arm nearly severed in the New South Wales axe attack before the intruder was killed. The 29-year-old was stabbed in the chest during the frenzied life and death struggle. A Maori-owned book, a book publisher, they win the Bologna Prize. This is huge for Maori-dom. Huia Publishers have been recognised for years of contributing to Maori storytelling. Phoenix in sport, the Phoenix defence record faces tests against Melbourne Victory. The Wellington Phoenix defence record this season has been very impressive, conceding just 25 goals right across the sport. Warehouse, they're expanding fresh produce, offering to 10 more stores. They've got a range, will include 12-pack of free-range eggs for just $7. West Coast attempts to restore order as rain shifts north. Workers have been brought in from outer regions to restore power and access roads ahead of more bad weather expected over the next few days. Kiwi Bank users report outages as the bank works to resolve the issue. A Kiwi Bank spokesperson told One News the issue began yesterday. And a stabbed sushi shop owner on North Shore, she's moved out of intensive care. The Browns Bay Business Association said the woman still had a long road ahead of her on her road to recovery. Australian dumplings join a joint fine of $4.4 million for a plan to rob staff. Restaurant chain Tin Dai Fung and 2 managers were slapped with fines after deliberately underpaying workers. And Foster, to coach the World 15 team against France, former All Black coach, is suddenly in demand again after the World Cup final defeat to the Springboks. And 5 big things that you need to know what happened yesterday. News on TV3 is set to end after 34 years on air, and the OCR held steady and threatened bird excited a community. Sex offender murderer challenges a sex ban in between prisoners. Philip John Smith is serving a life sentence for murdering the father of the boy that he was sexually abusing. Boeing chief has been summoned over the whistleblower's 787 Dreamliner claims. Quality engineer Sam Sepafor, he is expected to detail safety concerns involving the manufacture and assembly of the aircraft. 660, the New Zealand rock band, they've got some gigs in the far north at a Mariah to open the intimate Grassroots. He said it was more intimate and personal, the performance for the group, especially for the lead singer, Matthew Walters. Ethan Blackadder returns at last to the Crusaders. The loose forward is on the brink of playing his first Super Rugby game after a season of horror run of injuries for poor Ethan. Secret lab has been raided in Auckland, linked to a kidnapping revealed. Police alongside fire and emergency crews yesterday, they closed off Crichton Road in Cleveland, Auckland, yesterday morning. And Doc proposes cutting 130 roles. They actually have got, I think they're going to axe 240 or something, and then they're going to cut 130. I think it's going to leave them about 120 left. They're going to fire everyone and then hire new people. They must have got a new CEO in there. Trump appeals rejects Trump's appeals court rejects Trump's attempt to delay hush money trial. Justice Cynthia Kearns ruling that was the second time in as many days that the state's mid-level appeals court refused to what? I have to click on it to tell you the news there. New York appeals court judge has rejected Donald Trump's latest attempt to delay his hush money criminal trial. What a load of rubbish. Taking just 12 minutes to swat aside an argument that it should be postponed while the former president fights a gag order. Justice Cynthia Kearns' ruling was the second time in as many days that the state's mid-level appeals court refused to postpone the trial set to begin next week, further narrowing a plausible path to the delay that Trump's legal team has repeatedly sought. Trump's lawyers want the trial delayed until a full panel of appellate court judges could hear arguments on lifting or modifying a gag order that bans him from making public statements about jurors, witnesses, and others connected to the hush money case. They argue that the gag order is an unconstitutional curb on the presumptive Republican nominee's free speech rights while he's campaigning for president and fighting criminal charges. The First Amendment harms arising from the gag order right now are irreparable, Trump lawyer Emil Bovee said at the... emergency hearing in the state's mid-level appeals court. He argues that Trump shouldn't be muzzled, while critics, including the former lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen, said the porn star Stormy Daniels routinely assailed him, while both are key prosecution witnesses. It's just a scandal what's going on over there, trying to stop Trump from becoming the president. If they are successful in stopping them, there'll be a flippin' civil war, because America wants Trump. They want him back. There were no wars. He settles all the wars. He sits down and, you know, he uses his skills as an entrepreneur and a business mogul, you know, developer. You've got to be clever, man. You've got to know how to negotiate. And this guy, he brings all that to the table. There's nothing like it, nothing like it. And so the whole country was better off under Trump. And even people that hate Trump still want Trump because they know they want to get back to how it was. Biden has destroyed the country. Well, he hasn't. His aides, the people around him propping him up. It's like a weekend at Bernie's, isn't it, when they wheel out Joe Biden, his dead corpse, and they're trying to keep him alive, pretend to... Have you seen that movie? Yeah, that's a funny one. It was. 25 minutes away from 7, that'll be our lot at 7, and then we'll get on, we have to go down and tie down a few buildings and things, make sure they don't blow away in the wind. We're expecting a bit of wind today, aren't we? We are. What have we got? We've got up in the Bay of Islands, first of all, we've got northeasters of 25 knots, gusting 35 knots, rising to 35, gusting 45 knots this morning. Seas becoming very rough this morning, fair visibility in showers, an easterly swell of 1 metre. And in Hawke's Bay, you can expect today, where are you, Hawke's Bay? Got Wellington there, Hawke's Bay. Northerlies 15 knots, rising to northeasters 20 knots this morning. Seas becoming moderate in the morning. Fine weather becoming cloudy, an easterly swell of 0.5 metre, rising to 1 metre. And in Wellington, you've got a strong wind warning and advisory. Northerlies 15 knots, rising 20 knots, gusting 30 in the morning, and then 25, gusting 35 knots in the afternoon. Seas becoming very rough in the afternoon with poor visibility and scattered rain from afternoon. Yeah, and that's you. We'll do Christchurch as well. There's a wind gale warning down there. Northerlies 20 knots, rising to 25 knots, gusting 35 knots mid-morning, and 30 knots, gusting 40 late morning. And it's going to be 35, gusting 45 for a time in the afternoon. So it's really absolutely terrible in Christchurch at the moment. But it's as warm, it's toasty. You'd be as warm as toast at the moment. Let's have a look at the temperatures and see how they're faring. It is 24 minutes, is it? No, 19 minutes away from 7. And the warmest place to be is Culverden. 22 degrees at the moment. Palmerston North is the coldest, 10.9. Wairuru has the windiest spot. It's been windy all morning. It's eased off just slightly there, 57 kilometres of wind. And Hokitika have got 3.8 millimetres of rain. Invercargill, it's nice and warm there, 13 degrees. Dunedin, 15, along with Timaru. Chatham Islands is also on 15. Queenstown, 13. Franz Josef, 16. Westport, 17. Nelson, 19. Blenheim's on 21. Christchurch, 19. Wellington, also 19. Masterton, 15. Napier, 18. Palmerston North, 16, along with Taupo. New Plymouth is 18. Gisborne, 11. Rotorua, 17 degrees. Tauranga, 20. It's really warm up here, isn't it? Yeah. Hamilton, 18. Auckland, 20. Whangarei, 21. And Kaitaia is also sitting on 21. They've got heavy rain warnings in orange, heavy rain watch, strong wind watch, thunderstorm outlook, severe outlook. It's all happening over at metservice.co.nz. Haven't heard from Philip Duncan for a while, have we?
No. No, we haven't.
All right, now we've got to play your Morgan Wade song. This is for you, Digger.
By summer's end, I predict that I have finally lost my mind. The doctor said, they might help me this time, and I hope that's the case, 'cause I feel I am wasting one life that I have. The chances they come and the chances they go, but the time you don't get that back. And Johnny called me gonna help, I'm just praying, yeah, and now.
hold this. It's fine. Hi, it's Margaret. I'm excited because I'm here at the vaccination centre getting my booster. It's my 45th booster. I've had 44 boosters. I've had COVID 14 times. But I know if I hadn't had my 49 boosters, my COVID would have been so much worse. And today I get a threefer. I know. I thought it was buy one, get one free, but it's threefer. I've got my booster. I've got my cold and flu. And I've got my shingles, which I didn't know I needed, but I definitely must do. At this point, I'll be made up more of boosters and vaccines than I will of blood. And guess what I got given today? This. A prick loyalty card. I'm so excited. So every time I get a booster or a jab or a prick or a vaccine, I get a loyalty reward point. And look how well I'm doing. I only need two more.
Katie
and
Hopkins
get
there.
A heart attack.
88.1 FM, the wireless New Zealand news.
Right, more New Zealand news. 12 minutes away from 7. Very good morning to you. Hope you're having a great day today. If it's your birthday today, the 12th of April. 12th of April today. Now we're over at rnz.co.nz, RNZ Radio New Zealand News. Should we save history or build for the future? The detail, a loophole in the law. Well, that's the detail. I think it's a... podcast digger?
I think so. I don't know.
The loophole in the law may allow derelict heritage buildings to be demolished, but it has caught the ire of some. They're not happy about that. Rain warnings across South Island and Taranaki. There are 8 orange heavy rain warnings in the South Island, with 1 in Taranaki. And a triathlon. The triathlon swimming is at risk due to poor water quality in Paris. The swimming leg of the triathlon at this year's Olympics could be cancelled due to poor water quality in the River Seine. Tourism, flora and fauna at risk under the dock job cuts. According to the environment and recreational groups, they are warning that the proposed cuts could have long-term consequences for the loss of flora and fauna, as well as backcountry huts. Other news, Kate Sylvester, she's going to close. Really difficult time for the retailers, she said. Parliament, shock at the Act New Zealand First side with the opposition, the Nats. They vote against the bill. Now, that was the bill on, what was it? Oh, God, I struggled on that one before. Act New Zealand First have shocked Parliament tonight, yes, or last night, by supporting a bill to select committee that would provide entitlement to New Zealand citizenship for a group of people born in the then Western Samoa, whose citizenship was removed by law in 1982. That's the bill. Okay, and the water tank program, that's changing lives. That's a new one. Good on them. An iwi-led, that's a tribe-led drought relief program, is changing lives in the far north with one tank at a time. On Wednesday, we've got, they're getting rainwater tanks installed up there. Until now, they didn't have anything. Why do they need that? They all go to work and earn money. They only cost about $5,000 for a 30,000 litre tank. Just get on and pay for your own stuff. And why do you need taxpayers and ratepayers' money? You don't need it. You just go and pull your leg out. Pull your finger out. Pull your leg. Pull your socks up and pull your finger out and get to work and pay for your own stuff. And you can help your own people. Why should we be helping you? If Maori need help, they can help themselves. Okay, God helps them that helps themselves. Students, you get so much given to you, don't you? Students petition Parliament to keep the free lunches, and that's just about it. I think we've just about wrapped up all the news, mate. It's nearly 9 minutes away from 7, and I think we've done it. But all after 7, they all arrive at work, and then all the news stories come out, and then we get to we're off to work. And then they get to talk about all the interesting stuff, but we've just got all the overnight stuff that's happened. We had a quick refresh on One News, see if there's anything new there. If I can get to the top of it, come on. Just while I got a wheel on my mouse. The best damn AM we can. The AM show host, they address the closure. AM host Melissa Chan Lee and Lloyd Burr. This morning they thanked audiences for coming along for the ride. They'll be crying, won't they, poor things. Property threatened by a large vegetation fire in Auckland's Helensville. Firefighters were called to the blaze in Helensville, northwest of Auckland, at 3:35 a.m., 25 to 4 this morning. Media minister has had enough time to find solutions, apparently, according to the opposition. Labour and the Greens parties say that the government must take the shrinking of the sector seriously and come up with solutions for the sake of democracy. What is that? Media on media. Well, the media have been telling lies, haven't they? They've been in cahoots with the government, get the big bail, $60 million, during the COVID thing. They didn't need any money because they could all work from home. They actually didn't need any money, but they got a hush money. That's what it was. Be quiet. And you bloody doctors, you're just as bad. You doctors, you ask for exemptions for all your staff, especially these top-level people. You didn't want to get jabbed. You got exemptions from being jabbed by this flippin' toxic, deadly gene therapy that's killed millions of people across the world, and thousands here in New Zealand are dead because of your vaccine. And you doctors, you took your exemptions because you didn't want to get it, but as you signed an agreement with the government that you wouldn't say that you hadn't, and that you would continue to encourage your patients to be jabbed when you knew that it was unsafe. You pack of bastards, all of you need to be on trial. All of the doctors that got exemptions and didn't warn their patients about this need to be imprisoned. The death penalty needs to come back. Judicial executions need to take place. People need to be held accountable for this democide which has happened over the last 3 years in this country and continues today. And media, all of you, it's going to be the Nuremberg 2. That has to happen. And I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to stop talking about it until I see people behind bars. I want laws changed. I want both sides. Those 120 criminals in the parliament down there at the Wasp Nest in Wellington, they need to be held accountable. And there was only one good politician and her party of 33 candidates, NZ Loyal. That's where you should have voted. Those are the people you should have voted for, and you didn't. And you would have been free from your slavery, but you want to be enslaved. And now that you've got what you asked for. All right, that's our lot. It is 6 minutes away from seven. Well, shall we end on some news from RNZ? Why not? Why not, I say?
RNZ News at 6. Ngā mihi mai o ha. Good morning. I'm Nicola Wright. The Media and Communications Minister's declining to say what her plans are to reform the sector or when she might bring forward a plan, citing Cabinet confidentiality. Melissa Lee says she's focused on ensuring New Zealand's media industry is sustainable and modernised and is looking at reviewing the Broadcasting Act. Although she has written a Cabinet paper, she won't say what's in it. Ms Lee says she's talked to international companies on how they can support and increase New Zealand screen production, but it would not include a quota. And she says it would not have helped the situation at News Hub, which is shutting down in July. An advocate for migrant workers is urging the government to make allowances for people on exploitation protection visas who can't speak English. Under new rules, migrants applying for low-skilled jobs under the Accredited Employer Work Visa Scheme must meet a basic standard of English. But Anu Koloti says the government should consider a transition period to allow the workers to apply for visas under the old rules.
These people have suffered quite a lot and they've been scammed, they've been stolen from, and the least this government can do is to treat them with care.
The Immigration Minister, Erica Stanford, says the government won't consider giving an exemption.
Just rubbish. Go and stay in your own country and rebuild your own country instead of coming here for our stuff.
Or grace period. Met Service says torrential rain on the west coast will get worse before it gets better today. The forecaster says there is a risk of flash flooding across the region with up to 150 millimetres of rain expected on Westland's coast and up to 300 in the ranges. It says there is still a chance the current orange warning will be upgraded to red. There are now 8 orange heavy rain warnings in the South Island and one in Taranaki, which ends tomorrow morning. Westland recorded between 15 to 25 millimetres of rain overnight. Al Lorne from Westland's Emergency Management says they're expecting the worst of the rain to start soon. He says they're planning for the worst, but hoping for the best. The Conservation Minister has acknowledged job cuts at the Department of Conservation are difficult. DOC is proposing to cut 130 jobs, including staff working in biodiversity, visitor services and regional operations. It's the latest public agency to reveal its plans to reduce job numbers in response to the government's directive to cut spending. Tama Pōtaka says the department's final cost-cutting plan will be confirmed soon. He says the government has been clear about its intention to preserve frontline jobs. An internal document shows DOC wants to hire 20 new rangers around the same time it lays off back office staff. The political leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, says three of his sons and several grandchildren have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza City. The BBC's Sebastian Usher sent this report.
Hamas says the car that Ismail Haniyeh's sons were travelling in was hit in Ashati camp in Gaza. Mr. Haniyeh heard the news as he was visiting wounded Gazans who'd been taken for treatment to the Qatari capital Doha, which is where the Hamas leader lives. His response was to thank God for the honour bestowed on him with what he called the martyrdom of his children and grandchildren. He also said that the killings would not change Hamas's position in the current ceasefire talks. There has as yet been no comment from the Israeli army or government.
A specialist youth GP who's treated many transgender young people is standing by New Zealand's approach to medical interventions. The Health Ministry won't say whether it's considering following Britain's move to ban the routine use of puberty blockers, which stop the physical changes that come with puberty. Dame Sue Bagshaw disputes the claim by Britain's National Health Service that there's not enough evidence to show blockers are either safe or effective for trans children and teenagers.
There's not enough evidence to use most of the medicines we use, to be quite honest. Because for a lot of the stuff in health, you can't do a random control trial because it's too well accepted that the standard treatment is the standard treatment.
But a population health scholar says New Zealanders aged 12 to 17 are being prescribed blockers at 10 times the rate of those in the UK, and more caution is needed. US President Joe Biden says he's considering Australia's request to drop the prosecution of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. That country's parliament recently passed a measure calling for the return of Mr. Assange to his native Australia. The US wants to extradite Mr. Assange from the UK on criminal charges over the leaking of military records.
That'll get him some votes, won't it, eh?
Assange denies the charges, saying the leaks were an act of journalism.
That'll get Biden some votes.
He's being held in Belmarsh Prison in London and is fighting his extradition in the UK courts. That's the news.
Thank you very much. We'll go over to weather in just a moment, and then that's our lot for the day. That is our lot for the day, Digger. It's 2 minutes away from seven.
Katie Hopkins just exposed this climate activist's hypocrisy.
An ambulance couldn't get through because your protesters, Just Stop Oil, were blocking the road, and the ambulance couldn't get through in time. She couldn't get the help she needed, and she died. You said that you are a peaceful protester. My friend is dead. How do you answer that?
We have a blue light policy, which means whenever we have roadblocks, as soon as we hear sirens, we see the blue lights, people move out of the way. And we have never had any complaints from either ambulances, fire brigade or any other emergency services.
The video footage exists and the lady can't complain now because she's dead. Let me ask you another question. What bills do you currently pay? Who pays for your accommodation at university?
My student loan.
Have you ever paid any bills in your lifetime?
No.
So you don't know what it's like to be a homeowner and not to be able to afford your energy bills. You don't know what it's like to pay a bill, Phoebe, do you?
88.1 FM, the wireless weather.
All right, before we go, we'll give you the forecast for all of New Zealand, valid until midnight tonight. Tonight, significant heavy rain for Western South Island easing later today. But north into Taranaki, including Coromandel, the Bay of Plenty, Taupo and Tongariro, cloudy with scattered rain today, turning to rain in Northland and Taranaki this evening with heavy falls and possibly thundery falls as well. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, mainly fine today with isolated high cloud. However, some patchy rain about northern Gisborne, Whanganui to Taihape, and also Wellington and Wairarapa. You've got cloud increasing today with patchy rain from afternoon. In the South Island, Marlborough, Nelson, Bullen, Western, Fiordland and Canterbury, also Otago headwaters. Heavy rain, especially about the ranges, easing in Westland, and Fiordland and Canterbury and Otago headwaters this evening. For the remainder of Canterbury and Otago, cloudy with spots of rain. Rain becoming widespread this afternoon or evening. Clutha and Southland, you've got rain with heavy falls today, especially in Western Southland, and cloudy periods in the Chatham Islands. That is news and weather. It's just gone 7 o'clock. Thanks very much for having us. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Gerald, it's 8 a.m. on a Friday. Why don't you come watch the Pauline Hanson Please Explain cartoon? It's only happening because of your support. Remember when you bought that bottle of Senate Gin from pleaseexplain.org.au to support the series?
Yes. Don't forget I also bought the Rosella Vodka too, honey. But please, I'll be there in a minute. I'm just securely uploading my personal identification documents into this secure site.
Are you sick and tired of the government not having access to all your personal data?
No, not really.
Do you sometimes wish you could just store all your sensitive identification documents in one centralised digital system that's designed and operated by the government?
Huh, no, not at all. Go away.
Well, too bad, because without any debate or scrutiny, we've passed the digital ID bill through Parliament.
That's right, we've streamlined the process for you to give us all your sensitive identification documents and fast.
Why be vulnerable to multiple security breaches when you can store all your sensitive data in one convenient, potentially hackable location?
Well, I don't know if I like that.
But that's not all. Finally, there's a way for our mates in the private sector to get free access to your information with less responsibility.
I'm a bit worried about...
What are you worried about? That this is the first step to a Chinese social credit score system?
That we're going to track your carbon use and slap a new tax on you? That we're going to shut down your bank account just because you said mean things about me on Twitter?
You can do that?
Of course we can, but do you really think the government would want that sort of power?
Yes.
Nah, don't be stupid. You can trust us.
This is completely safe, effective, and voluntary.
Where have I heard that before?
Oi, stop thinking and just volunteer your data already.
Ho ho, wait until the Liberal Party hears about this.
This was all their idea anyway. Come on, why haven't you volunteered your information yet? You'd be crazy not to.
And crazy is exactly what we're going to call you if you show a hint of scepticism. We're going to label you a cooker, a right-wing nut job.
That's right, you'll volunteer everything and you'll be happy.
No, no, I don't think I will, thank you very much.
You don't really have a choice here, Gerald. You still want to get your pension? You'll need to sign up for digital ID eventually if you want to keep getting your precious government services.
Everyone's going to have to volunteer their data if they want a job, a home loan, a bank account, a rebate.
You've been misleading people.
Give it to me, Gerald. Hurry up and volunteer your information.
Talk about government overreach.
Give me a driver's license, Medicare, passport, everyday rewards card, and I'll grab your biometrics pretty soon too, Gerald.
No! Not my biometric data!
It's too late, Gerald! This has already passed through Parliament. Get used to it! The all-new digital ID system. It's too late to say no.
Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless.
Just relax and listen to the radio.
Now. And now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless.